Take your Bible this morning and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to have verses 17 to 19 for the text of the message this morning. Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. We're going to be looking at Abraham once again this morning. And Abraham's life and description of his faith take up more of this chapter than any other single Bible character. And it's not because he was more important than anybody else by any means, but we certainly can learn a lot from Abraham's life and his faith as God describes it for us here in Hebrews chapter 11 and records it for us in Genesis and other places in the Word of God in Romans chapter 4 and so on. We've seen that Abraham trusted God to take him from his homeland into a new country, that he trusted God to give him a son. When, as we will see and be reminded again this morning, that was a very unlikely scenario. And though these are amazing traits of Abraham's faith, we recognize that in these things, Abraham was trusting God for something that he did not have yet. But he trusted God to give it to him in the future. And God did honor his faith, of course. As we consider this morning in our text today, let's think about that. Think about, he trusted God for something that he didn't have. And that's a great, certainly a great testament to his faith of trusting God when the odds of those things taking place were very small and very unlikely, humanly speaking. But this morning we're going to see that Abraham trusted God with something that he had. Something that God had given to him, Abraham trusted back to God. You know, sometimes it's easier to trust for something that we have never received than to trust God back with something that He has blessed us with. Abraham did both. And this morning I would like us to ponder the question, will you trust God with what He has given you? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 17 says, "For ye know how that..." Oh, excuse me, that's chapter 12. I'll get the right chapter here. "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Will you trust God with what he's given you? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, again for this time that we can open the Bible to read of the lives of men and women of times past and learn from their lives that which you've given us the record of their lives for. Lord, you said that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for us today. And so I ask, Lord, that you speak to us through this portion of scripture today. Lord, may we see areas of our life perhaps where we have been lacking in faith with those things that you have blessed us with of allowing you to take control of those things in our life. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone that's not sure of salvation today, that today would be the day of their salvation. And Lord, that you speak to us, everyone. For that's why you brought us together here this morning, Lord, not just to go through the motions of meeting, but because you want to meet with us as individuals. And so Lord, I pray that's our desire as well, and that we would open our hearts to your Spirit this morning through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Realize that Isaac was a gift from God. In verses 11 and 12, we've looked at it already, and it's very clearly that Isaac was a gift that God had given to them. We looked at that just a couple of weeks ago. Sarah hadn't been able to bear a child, not just in a short time frame, but in her whole married life, she had not been able to have a child. Children were very much desired and sought in that day, and there is no doubt that Abraham and Sarah wanted to have a child. We live in a day where perhaps children aren't seen as the blessing that they are as much today. But in that day in particular, it was one where children were very much desired to further the family and so on. And we find it in Genesis chapter 15, verse 3, that Abraham said to God, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir." Abraham was very wealthy. God was taking him to the new land. And Abraham said to God one day, "God, I don't have a son. I may have a lot of wealth. I may have a great opportunity in a new land, but I don't have any children. His desire was to have a child, and no doubt Sarah's also was the same. Sarah was too old to bear a child. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago, that she was past the age of childbearing, and it was, humanly speaking, too late for that to transpire at this point. And though every child is a result of God's blessing, Isaac particularly fits that description, and they saw it that way. They called him, as God had said, laughter, because God had made them to laugh. Only God could have possibly caused it to happen. And Isaac had been promised of God, and God delivered on that promise and gave them the son that they so greatly desired. They were thrilled to have Isaac. And we could read back in Genesis chapter 21 how that it says, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. It was a very welcome thing for them to have a child. They were excited. They were not just saying, oh Lord, did you have to give us a son now? No, they were glad. They were excited, and it was a thrill for them to have a child. The joy, the wonder, the amazement, the praise to God. What an amazing time. That's what had taken place. To see him grow up, their own son that God had given them in their old age. And Abraham threw a big celebration on the day that he was weaned. Isn't it funny the things that parents celebrate in their child's lives? I mean, you think about, really, a big celebration the day he was weaned? Well, how many of us as parents say, well, they're potty trained, isn't this great? They asked to go to the bathroom. And those who've never had children or who are, you know, teenagers and young people go, that's exciting. We go, yeah, no more money on diapers. The end of diapers is in sight. This is great. But, you know, Abraham and Sarah, they were excited. This was a great thing to have a son and to see him grow up and to see him just maturing and going on. What a wonderful thing. But we come to our text this morning and we find that Abraham's faith was tried. That one whom God had given to them as a gift. God was going to ask them to do something very difficult with that child. Through faith and some doubt, they had seen God provide for them a son. It was an exciting, thrilling time. But now, there was a greater test of Abraham's faith, probably greater than he would ever have known. The Bible says here that by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, the word tried means to test, to scrutinize, to examine, or to prove. We all have experienced exams and tests. What are they for? They're to see if you learned anything from what you've been taught, right? That's what the teacher give you, test, not to make your life miserable, but to see if you learned anything along the way. To see if what they've been teaching you had been communicated in such a way that you understood what had been taught. And it was a test to see that, whether that was the case. You know, God tests our faith, not because He doesn't know if it would hold up, but more for our sakes. You ever write a test, maybe in school or in university or college, and you write and you get to the end and say, wow, I didn't realize I knew that much stuff. It was a test for you, and you learned that you did know some things. Sometimes at the end we go, I didn't know there was so much that I couldn't know that I'm supposed to have learned. But God tests us, and He tries our faith to see if our faith will hold up so that we can see our faith. Faith is proven when it's tried. As we said before, it's relatively easy to trust when the bank account's full, when everyone's healthy, when the job's going great, when the roof's all fixed and the boilers are repaired and everything else. It's relatively easy, isn't it? We trust God and we go along and say, life is good, I'm trusting God, and it's easy. But when those tests come, then that's when our faith is tried. And Abraham's test that he faced was a very difficult test. Abraham's faith had been tested by the time it took to see the fulfillment of God's promise. We've already talked about that 25-year span of time. Wasn't that enough of a test for God to see Abraham trusted Him? Wasn't that enough of a test for Abraham to see, I've trusted God and God fulfilled His word? No, God said, Abraham, I'm going to try your faith again. And he brings to Abraham what would have seemed an unthinkable suggestion. He says to Abraham, I want you to bring your son as a sacrifice to me. I can't think of how difficult it must have been for Abraham to entertain God's request. As a father, I cannot imagine the thoughts that went through Abraham's mind. I can't imagine how he thought, this is so out of character with God. God doesn't demand us to sacrifice our children. And yet God is definitely calling me to do this. I don't understand this. How can I do that? And yet Abraham did more than just entertain the thoughts. He set out to fulfill it. And our Bible tells us, as we've read it this morning, he set out to fulfill it by faith. Trusting in God that what God had called him to do, somehow God was going to turn it about. And somehow God was going to make this still work out. Because God had said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so by faith, Abraham set out. By faith, though, he said, this is the son God has promised. How could God take him back? How could God expect me to give him back? I waited 25 years for him to be born. And then God gave him to me, and now he says, give him back. Wouldn't it seem in some ways easier to have had a son than to have that son, and then God says, now give him back? In my mind, in some ways, it would be easier to say, I would rather not have had that in some ways than to say, now I've had this joy and this blessing, and now God says, I want him back. But God was testing Abraham's faith. Isaac was the son who was to be the father of many. But Isaac hadn't had any children. He wasn't old enough to have a child yet. We don't know exactly how old he was at the account there in Genesis chapter 22 when God called Abraham to offer him. It's been speculated anything from a teenager up to as old as 20 years old, depending on who you read and what they think of how old he was. But he hadn't had any children. He wasn't old enough to be a father. He was just a young teenager, is what most people consider him to be. This was Abraham's only begotten son. There wasn't a multiplicity to choose from. God said, I want you to bring that son of promise, Isaac, and he's the one I want you to bring as a sacrifice to me. His only begotten son. Doesn't that sound familiar? Was it not a foreshadowing of our Heavenly Father who gave His only begotten Son so that we may have eternal life? See, Romans 8:32 says, of God, He that spared not His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? We look at this and we say, how could God ask for that to be the case? And yet we also have to say, God was not asking Abraham to do anything that he wasn't also willing and would fulfill himself to do. But there's no doubt about it that Abraham's faith was facing an extremely difficult test. And yet our Bible tells us that by faith, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. If we had time to go back to Genesis, we find that there was no doubt in Abraham's mind. He set about to do exactly what God said that he was to do. Never seems to be a doubt in Abraham's mind. He trusted God and prepared to do as God has requested. We will never likely be tested in the same way Abraham was. We'll never be asked of God to sacrifice our children. I don't believe that God would ever ask us physically to do that. And yet God will be testing our faith from time to time in our life. And it could be that He may ask us to give Him back that which He has blessed us with. I thought this week, in a way, as we had the problems with the boiler and ended up having to pay out such a great amount of money, I thought, God, you gave us this building and you allowed us to come in here and you provided the needs so that we could purchase this building. And now you've given us this money that we have set aside, some things planned to do for this year. And now we've got to spend it on this, something we tried to avoid being in an emergency situation. And yet, as I thought of preparing this message for today and thinking, God, we're going to trust you with what you've given us. You've given us this, and now you're, as it were, asking us to give it back. Maybe God has blessed you with something, and you have something in your life that he's blessed you with, and it seems like he's asking you to lay it at his feet and give it back to him. He gave you a good job and you got good money coming in. So this is great. And now God says, now I want you to take some of that money and I want you to support my ministry. I want you to support some missionaries. I want you to give. And you say, but wait a minute, God, you gave me this job. You. And God says, yeah, I gave it to you. And now I want you to give back. He's given you some talents to use. Maybe you have a beautiful singing voice. Maybe you're able to play an instrument. Or maybe you just have that gift that you're able to just minister to people and different abilities. You say, I enjoy this. This is a great thing. And God says, now I want you to take what I've given you and I want you to use it for me. But Lord, I have my own plans to do with my talent. And I got my own life lined up here. And God seems to be calling you to give it back to him. He gave you a nice car, perhaps, and you say, well, this is great, it's comfortable, it's smooth, it's reliable, I enjoy this. And God says, now there's some people I'd like you to pick up and minister to. Maybe pick them up and take them to church, or maybe to go and minister to people, to take some people to an appointment or whatever. You say, but Lord, this is my car, and you gave it to me. And God says, yeah, now I want you to give it back to me. I want you to surrender it to me, to use it for me. Perhaps as parents, you say, Lord, you gave me children, and it's such a blessing to have a child, to have this child, and now, Lord, this is great, and I want them to be close to me all throughout life. And God says, but maybe I want to call them to be a missionary in the far corners of the earth. But Lord, you gave me this child, and I want them to be here. And God says, but I gave you that child, and I'm trusting you. Now I'm calling you to just return them to me, to let me take and use their lives. Sometimes we may say, hold on a minute, Lord, you gave that to me, it's mine. Abraham could have said, but God, you gave, this is the son of the promise, you gave him to me, I can't do that, I'm not going to do that. But Abraham, by faith, said, God gave him to me, and if I could trust God to give this child to me, then I can trust him to God to do what God can do with him in his life. You see, Abraham's faith, as we read it here in our text, in verse number 19, it says that Abraham accounted that God was able to raise him up. Abraham's faith was a reasoning faith. The word accounting means to take inventory, to conclude, to reckon, to reason. He thought this thing through, and he said, if God can give me a child when I'm 100 years old, if God can make my wife be able to bear a child at 90 years old, then God can be God and I can give this child back to God because God is able to do something that I can't imagine what he can do. God says, I can trust God because he's directed my steps in this new country. He's given me the promise of this son that he said he would give me, though it was humanly impossible. And therefore, because I know what God can do and I can understand that God can be trusted, I'm going to trust him back with what he has called me to do. God had promised many things and he could see them being fulfilled. And he says, now I can rationalize, I can realize, I can reckon that God is able to be trusted with my son. Not only to trust him back with his son, but to say, listen, think this thing through, Abraham. God gave you this son. This son is whom, it says in verse number 18, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God said that this is the child that's going to be used to make a great nation of me. Now, he hasn't had any children yet. So if God is going to make him a great nation, then God's going to have to somehow work a miracle. He reckoned with his faith. When he added up what God had done already, he decided he could trust him. And he said, okay, if God said he was going to fulfill his word and he has done thus far, then I can trust him to somehow still allow Isaac to be the one who would be used to become a great nation. It was a reasoning faith. You know, many people consider faith to be blind and foolish. What, you're trusting God? You can't see God. How can you trust God? That's blind faith. Because you can't see the result of it. You can't see God himself. But when faith is based on the promises of God, it's neither blind nor foolish. It's sensible. It's reasonable for us to consider that God is the creator of this world and is able to create the world out of nothing. He's able to save our eternal soul. For us to say, I can trust him with my life, that's not blind faith. That's not foolish faith. That makes sense. If God can make a world, I can trust him to look after my life. If God can save me for all of eternity, I can trust him to look after my life. God has given us a brain to use, and we should use it to choose to trust God, who is very worthy of our trust. You know, our problem comes when we try to reason how God will fulfill the promise. I don't see how he could do it, therefore I cannot trust him. God doesn't always give us the how. He sometimes says, just trust me and see what I've done in the past and realize you can trust me. Sometimes we try and take over God's part of the equation. But we are to trust God based on his word and what he has done and what we've seen him do in the past. Ours is to take God at his word and trust him to fulfill the promise. His part is to fulfill the promise. In all thy ways acknowledge him, our part, and he shall direct thy paths. His part. Our part is casting all our care upon him. His part is, I care for you. Our part is, in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made unto God, known unto God. His part is, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We look at things and wonder how God can work it out. Then we say, God, I'm a little worried for you here. God says, don't worry, I've got this. I've got it all looked after. We need to consider what he has done, consider his promises, and choose to trust him, because God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Abraham said, it's reasonable to trust God. It's reasonable because I've seen what he's done. And his faith was a strong faith, we would have to say in verse 19, because it says that he accounted that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Abraham said, I believe God could raise him from the dead, if necessary. That in a day where there had been no record of such a thing taking place. We can read the Bible and we can say, well, we read about Elijah or Elisha, can't remember which of them was, raised that widow's son from the dead. It happened. He raised that child from the dead. And we can read about when Jesus raised people from the dead. So we say, well, God can do that. But that wasn't recorded before Abraham's day. But Abraham said, listen, God gave me this son. God said he wants him back. God said he's going to make the son a great nation. Then God must be going to raise him from the dead. If I sacrifice him and he's dead, then God's going to have to raise him up from the dead. If that's the way God has to do it, then God's able to do that. His faith, it was a strong faith. Genesis chapter 22 gives the record of what we're reading here. And we find that in verse 1, he was willing to go. God called him to go. And what did he do? He said he rose up early in the morning and prepared to go. He got everything ready and necessary to fulfill God's request. We find in Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 5, he said to the servants, he said, "You wait here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we will come back again." We. He didn't say, "I will." He said, "We will." There was his faith. There was a strong faith. How did he know that we are going to come back? Because he said, "I trust God." And God said that he was going to make this child a great nation, and therefore I can trust God to do that. He believed in God's provision. When Isaac said, "Father, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, where's the sacrifice?" What did he say? He said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." He believed in God's provision, and God provided for him. And God did, by the way, fulfill that prophetic statement that Abraham made. God did provide himself a lamb. Because John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Abraham followed through with his part until God said, "Hold on." He was ready to do what God had called him to do. And then God provided that substitute for Isaac, which of course is another beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, our substitute, the one who took our place. Isaac was spared because when God said, "Hold on, Abraham," there's a ram caught in the thicket. That's the sacrifice. See, God had no intention of letting Abraham sacrifice his son. But God was testing Abraham's faith. And Abraham's faith was a strong faith. The question is, how strong is our faith? Are we willing to trust God with what He has blessed us with, believing that He can do the impossible should He so choose to do? What will we let stop us from doing what God wants us to do? Our verse for this month says it well, doesn't it? Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Abraham's faith was a strong faith. Abraham said, "God gave me this son, and I'm going to trust him back to God because God is calling me to give him back to him." How did he do that? By faith. He trusted God. He trusted the goodness of God. He trusted the power of God. He trusted the faithfulness of God. He trusted the ability of God to say, "God, if you have given me this son, and it took 25 years for this promise to be fulfilled, and now these few years have gone on, these 10 or 15 more years have gone on, and yet you've made the promise that it's through this boy that the seed will be called. Therefore, I can trust you. I can trust your promises. God, you can raise him from the dead if that's what needs to take place, but I will trust you." How's your faith today? First place is, of course, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior? He is the Lamb of God. Jesus came to be that Lamb to take away our sin. And He was our substitute. He took upon Himself what we deserve. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Christian, how about you today? Will you trust God with what He has given you? Say, but He's blessed me with this and now it's mine. I want to keep it. What if God says, I want you to give a part of that back, or I want you to use what I've given you for my glory. I want you to trust me with that. Are we ready to trust Him? It's not always easy to trust for things that we cannot see. And yet in some ways it's easier to trust God for things we cannot see than to have something that God has blessed us with and to trust Him back with it again. But Abraham did that. He trusted God with what God had blessed him with. We trusted Him with our eternal soul. Can we trust Him with our daily life? We trust Him to provide our needs. But can we trust Him back with those needs He's provided with us with to use for His glory? Our talents, the problems that come up in our life. See, if he can save our eternal soul, he can take care of anything that goes on in this life. But the question is today, will you trust him with what he has blessed you with? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again for this time, and thank you for this challenging piece of scripture from Abraham, his faith that was so strong in you that he trusted you with that precious, most precious gift that you'd given him. Lord, I'm sure that it would have been easier for him to be willing to give up the land that you'd promised him. Any of the wealth that he had amassed as he traveled about, as you had blessed him. But Lord, to trust you back with that son who was so precious to him that had brought about so much joy in his life must have been very difficult. And yet we're thankful today that we read that Abraham had that faith. He trusted you with that son whom you had blessed him with. Trusted you with him to such a degree that he believed that you were able to raise that child from the dead because he knew that that was the son whom you would fulfill the promises through. And so we realize that in our life today we don't have an Isaac that you're asking us to sacrifice. Lord, we know that you would never call us to sacrifice in that way our children. And yet we do live in a time where we are blessed with very much that you have blessed us with. It may be that good job. It may be a good income. It may be some wealth. It may be some talent. It may be some ability. It may be just one of those many blessings that you have blessed us with, even our children. And Lord, sometimes we like to hold those things so close to us and say, now we've got them. They're ours. It's mine. But Father, I pray that this morning we realize that we can trust you with that which you have blessed us with. Lord, should you call us to give back that which you have blessed us with, then we know that as Hannah trusted you with Samuel and you blessed her multiplied times over with more children, Lord, so that you will and can and do bless us, Lord, as we trust you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize what it is that we may have that you blessed us with. Perhaps we've been holding too close to ourselves, thinking it's mine. May we trust it back to you and to your care today as you call us so to do. So, Lord, we would pray, even as we read in our verse for this month, increase our faith. For we know that without faith it is impossible to please you. Bless this time of invitation, Lord, I pray. And if there's anyone here who's not sure of heaven, not sure that they've ever placed their trust in you for their eternal salvation, may today be the day of their salvation. And again, Father, as Christians, that we would search our hearts and see some areas perhaps where our faith is lacking, where we've been unwilling to trust you in areas that you've called us to trust you. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Just while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you sure that if you died today that you go to heaven? Jesus came as that substitute that Abraham prophesied would come. But have you trusted him to be your Lord and Savior today? If not, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where you can cry out from your heart, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe that Jesus died for me and I receive his gift of salvation. And if you'd like to talk to one of us about doing that, we'd be so thrilled, so happy to do that. And as we have our invitation in just a moment, we'd invite you to come and talk to us to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But Christian, this message has largely been for us today, and though I won't ask you to raise your hand, I would challenge you with the thought this morning, will you trust God with that which he has blessed you with? Lord, again I pray as we sing our hymn of invitation this morning, you'd help us to follow through on those things which you would have us to do. Those areas of our faith that have been lacking, Lord, may we commit them to you and trust you this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.